You are listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige, where each week you're invited to join in our upbeat discussion as we look deeper into spiritually based principles that can change your life. We know that change can open doorways to new beginnings, and we are dedicated to helping you make the changes needed to improve your life. And now, here is your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige. Hello, everyone, and welcome in once again to Affirmations for Living. And yes, I am your host, Dr. Edvige. As you know, I am so thankful that you are here tuning into us today because it really is about bringing to you from week to week tools to help empower, uplift, and inspire you to be the best that you can be and to help you take control of your life, to understand that everything you are experiencing is because you are the creator of it. And what does that look like for you? And so I invite you to visit my websites, Dr. Edvige, which is the hub for all that I offer, from my book, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening, to downloading my smartphone app, Awakened, and also my new website, Light Body Mentor, which I'm really excited about because that is a 12-month program for you. So if you're really serious, you're really wanting to awaken and you're really wanting to prepare your physical body for your light body, like has happened to me, I invite you to look at that site, lightbodymentor.com, and check out that course today. And another recent addition to affirmationsforliving.net is Raising Your Consciousness. And that program should be ready shortly. So continue to go and check that out. Today we are going to be, and since we're actually in retro, Mercury retrograde, and we know that communication things often can go awry, well, guess what? If you're listening live and you have difficulty listening and things tend to mess up with the transmission, come back later and tune in and listen to the archive. It will be available later on this evening as well as in the future because we are having some technical difficulties. And I want you to know that up front, it's nothing wrong with your computer, just it is going on within the system. And so I apologize up front if that happens. Let's hope it doesn't, but you never know. So today we're going to go over an amazing modality that when this awakening process began for me, literally this being came in from Sirius, yes, Sirius, and told me they were ready to teach me meditate. And so I know how valuable this process is, but a lot of times we don't fully get the right way to do it for ourselves. So today my guest is visionary, earthkeeper, interfaith minister, neuropath, doctor, and holistic counselor, Milana Ashley. She's been a student of subtle energy and traditional coaches for more than 20 years, so she definitely knows how to meditate. She is the author of 3 nonfiction books, and her award-winning Gringos in Paradise are her Honduras Odyssey, because yes, folks, she's an American living in Honduras, and The Threaded Gem Adventure, and soon to be published, Shift, and we're going to hear about that, A Pathway to Peace. Each of her writings draws on the wealth of knowledge these experiences have awarded her. So I am just delighted to once again have you on with me. Thank you, Milana.
Oh, you're welcome. I love being on your program. The energy is so good here.
Yes, it's all warm and fuzzy and just peaceful. So I know we're going to talk about meditation today, but just for a few moments, share with us your other work that you do.
Well, I'm a naturopath, and that's a doctor of natural healing. And my passion has been to find the root core to chronic problems, whether they're physical health or whether they're emotional, like relationship problems or failures. You know, when people feel like they're failures at jobs or relationships or anything. Because those core issues, there is a commonality there. And that's my interest in that is what took me into emotional healing work and and subtle energy work, and then into metaphysics. You know, where else can you go once you've walked that path? And then all these traditional elders started showing up in my life and taking me into tutorage. So what I found is that chronic conditions are poverty. They are not only the failures that we feel, that, you know, that when we keep doing the same thing over and over again and the results don't change, but we feel tied to that circle. Mm-hmm. Anything along those lines fits in. So I do spiritual counseling. I do health counseling. I practice nutrition theories on the children in my Honduran neighborhood. They love to be guinea pigs for me.
Yeah,
and then I have a and then I have a project where I work with single mothers here. Single mothers, helping them start cottage businesses, in-home businesses, and seeing past their current circumstances, because there's so many single moms. It's really sad that men father these children, and then I think because life seems hard to them, that when they see some cute little 15-year-old girl down the street that's batting her eyes, they just leave. And leave their wives and children to manage on their own. So generally, the women either go on some kind of like food commodity program, or they have to go to work in the piña fields, and that's $5 a day, or they try to start an in-home business, because other than that, it's only waiting for some other man to come along. And offered to help raise their children. So meditation, even though I don't teach these women to meditate, meditation puts you into a greater consciousness, mm-hmm. A broader mind, a broader awareness. And that's what I try to do for these women, is to help them see a greater picture than what they have believed is available to them. So that, and I write, and I do healing vacations and spiritual quests where people come here and stay with me for a week to 10 days.
I mean, that sounds like
fun.
That's
a lot on a plate.
A lot on the plate. And you're semi-retired. No.
Yeah, well, you know, I probably will never retire because I love what I do, and I'm my own boss, and so I'm pretty tolerant of myself.
One can only hope.
And I'll just keep in. Exactly. You know, when you love what you do, you never really work anyway, so there's nothing to retire from.
Isn't that the truth? We are so blessed to be fortunate enough to do what brings us joy, fulfills soul purpose, and provides. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Exactly.
So let's get into meditation. How would you define meditation?
I think probably the best definition I have ever heard is that prayer is when we speak to God, and meditation is when we become quiet, shut up for a little while, and actually listen. And basically, that's what it is quieting your mind so that the divine mind, whether it's you call it the collective consciousness or God or your higher power or whatever that is trying to guide us, we hear, even our angels and guides. If we don't quiet our mind, then we don't hear the answers that we're asking for.
So true. And I know a little later on we're going to do a short meditation, but if someone listening says, but I don't know how to quiet my mind, the chatter is constant, and when I try to get quiet, that's when I really hear, you know, lots of things going on. What would you say to that person?
Oh, I know that really is tough, especially in our culture. because, you know, traditional cultures, learning to be quiet and to listen and to be in nature and to be grounded is part of their traditions, is part of their lifestyle. In our culture, it's stay busy, keep going, keep going. And so we're thinking all the time and judging ourselves and berating ourselves and judging others. It's so when we start looking at meditation and sitting down and being quiet, it's like the image in my mind is this child, you know, being a mother. I have raised three children, and when you were trying to do something, invariably there was always a child coming in, mama, 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 and wanting your attention. And you're trying to cut up vegetables, or you're trying to cook supper, or you're trying to sew, or you're trying to do something, and there's this constant little person who wants your attention. And so I would say, in a minute, give me a minute, and I would keep to the minute. I would honor and validate the child. And a minute's all you're going to get out of a child, because, you know, a minute seems like an hour to them. But then what it would do is that it would, because the child was validated, it would become quiet for just a little while and let you finish. And so when we sit down to be quiet in meditation, here comes this little child running through our mind going, oh, you didn't call Mary. Or, oh, there's still clothes in the dryer. Or, oh, you didn't do this. Or you didn't email this person. And all of these things that you were going to do or that you have on your plate, this little child is there nagging at you to remind you. And so sometimes I sit down to meditate with a notebook beside me. And when I've tried to validate the thought, okay, in a minute, I'll do that. When I'm through here, I'll do that. If it comes back again, then I write it down. I just kind of half open my eyes and make a little note so that I have put it on paper and I no longer have to think of it. I never have to remember it again. And sometimes it's something that's really important that I had maybe thought, I had not thought of. And so I just make a little note of it and then relax and I breathe. And that will generally let me go ahead and become quiet and go into that space. But sometimes with people, because, again, the activity level that we've been taught to practice, they need to use a physical meditation. Are you aware of physical meditation?
I'm not sure.
One of the things that I found is very mind-quieting to me is to paint. Not even paint a picture, paint a wall. When I'm running, you know, cutting the corners and things with a brush, it's really a kind of a no-brainer. Those things that we do that really don't require a lot of concentration, we're seeing them, but we don't have to think about it. And so running a roller, cutting with a brush, things like that, pulling weeds out of your garden, folding clothes, darning. I can remember my mother. I have five brothers, so the house was always full of kids, not only us, but all of the neighbor kids that came in with us. And my mom would sit, and she would darn socks. She'd have a light bulb in the sock, and she'd sit there and just quietly, and I'd think, you know, she's got to be crazy trying to concentrate on something like this with all of us kids going in and out through the house. And now, as an adult, I understand it. That was her zen.
Absolutely.
That was her zen moment. It was something that her hands stayed busy, her eyes would focus on it, and she could absolutely tune us out. Ironing was the same thing for her. When it would seem to be the rowdiest, the most kids in the yard, Mom would get the ironing board out, plug in the iron, and get the laundry out. And she would iron.
Yeah, you know, I've heard people say they swim, they meditate while they're swimming. So, yeah, now it makes sense.
Absolutely,
Absolutely makes
absolutely.
sense.
And you know, one of the most deep meditations that I have ever done was I went for a weekend of Buddhist meditation. And we did a meditation where we only focused on the air going in and out of our nostrils. There was a little background, like om sound or something like that, so that you didn't ever hear a distracting noise out on the street. And it's kind of like putting your children to sleep to with the television on or the radio on, so then they don't hear when you vacuum or something like that. It's the same kind of thing. You just put on this background sound that nullifies the world for you, and then you sit and bring your attention to your nostrils and be aware only of the air entering and leaving your nostrils and passing the little fine hairs that are in your nose, and that's the only thing that you're thinking of. And it put me into such a deep meditation. It actually like startled me. It was like, oh my gosh, this was so deep that I couldn't keep it. It was startling. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's
And
the
it was
type
just
of meditation I like, focusing on the breath, feeling the breath come in. And before I know it, my body is just like liquid. And I find myself way out beyond, just hovering. And it's very interesting. But wonderful to get out
exactly.
and just to let go. Pretty amazing. So what would you say to anyone? What are the benefits of meditation?
Well, on a physical level, what meditation will do is it relaxes your breathing. Once your breathing is relaxed, then your whole nervous system starts to relax. And what that does is it restores your pH balance. We tend to, your body maintains and heals itself perfectly when the pH is alkaline. And fear, anger, resentment, any of the negative emotions or stress, worry, has a tendency to cause us to become acidic. This is where reflux starts. A lot of joint pain and muscle pain all comes, especially up in the shoulders, comes from our pH becoming acidic. And you can't take antacids and correct that, because antacids, they may neutralize your stomach acid, but your stomach acid is supposed to be acidic. You want
Exactly.
it to be acidic.
To digest the food.
Exactly, but you don't want the acid ash that forms in your system from becoming over anxious. And so that's the first thing that meditation will do. Then again, it will starts to work on the central nervous system and to relax that. And that's what's carrying the message to every cell in your body. So it teaches and allows the cells to release, to relax, and to be open to receiving and passing fluid and information. It's like scar tissue and trauma that we hold in our cells. If you think about when something that has happened to you that is traumatic, that has brought up fear or anger or bitterness or resentment, and you go into that memory, what you'll find is that your breath becomes very shallow, becomes quick and shallow. And what that does is it starts to lock that dense energy, that dense information into yourself, because your central nervous system is allowing this information to travel to each cell of the body. Cells are held with fluid, so the information is being held in the fluid. And what happens then is that on that cellular level, that starts to recycle. When you relax, then it's like holding a positive memory. When you think of maybe the best vacation that you ever had, or an event in your life that was rewarding or beautiful,
So something that was just joyful and really made you happy.
Yes. Then what happens is that if you become aware of your breathing deeper, and you're breathing more relaxed. And what happens is that brings the blood vessels closer to the surface of the skin. Your skin becomes more sensitive, and your energy expands. And that is what meditation does. Is it brings you into a state of beauty and joy and peace and relaxation. So everything becomes more expansive instead of having the negative. So then that affects you not only mentally, but spiritually, emotionally.
So now I hear the benefit for the physical body. What is the benefit for my spiritual body?
Expansion, the expansion of consciousness, the opening, and the receiving of all of the, you know, we hear that the divine is always offering us abundance, that it's out there. It's just like, you know, the seeds from flowers, the rain, the leaves on trees, all around us is evidence of abundance, but we don't see it in our lives. And that is because our consciousness is restricted. We're focusing on lack instead of the abundance, the gratitude that leaves us open. And when we meditate, what happens is that we enter into this expansion, this sense of gratitude and abundance, and we begin to see it. We begin to believe it. It begins to be our truth. We don't even have to think about it. It becomes the truth that we breathe with every breath that comes in and every breath that comes out. It's not anything we have to remind ourselves of. It's actually a paradigm shift.
Absolutely.
It's a shift in consciousness.
It is.
And that's what comes with meditation. Mm-hmm. And once you can shift your reality like that, then your truth, you have a whole new truth. And you don't have to think about it. You don't have to remember it. You just enter that, you know, be part of that truth every day. And so that's the importance in meditation for every day, until meditation becomes so much a part of your life that you don't have to make time to meditate. Meditation is there. When you're walking, you're in meditation. When you are in the doctor's waiting room, you're in meditation. Mm-hmm. When you're in the checkout line, you're in meditation. Anytime that it's not required of you to be in that present moment, you go into meditation. It's just
Absolutely.
Part of you, who you are.
Mm-hmm. So now you say that you have problems, and how can meditation help you work through your problems or issues that you may have?
You can use visualization as part of meditation. And that way, I mean, in meditation, as I've said earlier, you're going to be open to expansion. But you can actually start to move into meditation and use visualization to help realize the more positive side of things that are happening in your life. Okay, you said, you mentioned that we, I'm a little distracted. I told you I was sitting out on my porch and watching the sun begin to set and looking at the birds and everything. The sky has this white and gray look to it as the evening clouds come in from the mountain. Mm-hmm. And there's this absolutely pink circle in the middle of this cloud. Wow. As we're talking about meditation, and it's absolutely beautiful because it belongs with what we're talking about. It would be the one focus of the clouds represent the world and all the distractions of it, and the pink is the one meditated thing to put your attention on. So it was just, it's beautiful. But you talked about the Mercury retrograde, okay? The Mercury retrograde, what we do is because it interferes with our technology, which is what our culture is based around, we see it as a very negative thing. And yet anything that is in nature really can't be negative. It's the ebb and flow. It's the law of rhythm. But the what we call the negative effects of Mercury retrograde can be negated by using heart energy, because Mercury is the red planet. And all painters and artists know that when there's too much red in a picture, the way to calm the red, to quiet it, to negate it, is to add green to it. And green is the color of heart energy, the heart chakra. Mm-hmm. And so when you meditate and visualize and send heart energy out into the etheric field, what it does is it calms the red, calms the effect of red. If you have a problem with a relative, a relationship, a neighbor, then all you have to do to negate that problem is apply love to it. You send love and loving thoughts to them. In meditation, you would see yourself receiving all the divine love into your heart.
Absolutely.
And when your heart becomes full, then you go ahead and you direct that love, let that overflow. Okay, because you don't want to ever stop energy. You want to let the flow of energy continue. So you let that divine love enter your heart, fill your heart to the point of overflow, and then send the overflow out. Send the overflow to people that you care about, but send that overflow also to someone that you feel has wronged you or hurt you or not validated you. Just send them that love. And I have seen relationships that have been unhealthy, let's call it that, unhealthy relationships for 30 years, 25, 30 years, be healed and resolved with just that simple visualization as part of a meditation. And when my husband and I decided that we needed to sell our home in Hawaii and move closer to where our families were in the United States, I know, you know, I say I live in Honduras and you go closer to the United States, but Hawaii is like a 13 to 24 hour trip from where my family was, you know, with the layovers and everything, whereas I'm directly below Louisiana, being on the north coast of Honduras. So it's only get to Houston or New Orleans and a straight shot up to get into central Missouri or Florida or any of the other locations. So it really does make it closer. So we wanted to get here. So what we did was we made a list of all the things that we wanted based on what we knew we had that we didn't ever want again, like an acre of jungle that had to be maintained. And we put it in a bowl, and we sat there in meditation and held the bowl on our lap. My husband and I would do this, you know, different times. Mm-hmm. And all thoughts, all actions, everything is energy. The energy of words from the mind of an author are transferred to the pages of a book. And that's why you can feel the emotion that the author has when you read the things that they write. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel the truthfulness of it. Mm-hmm. You feel the tenderness of it, or you feel the sadness in it. That's why, you know, when poetry touches so many people, because poetry comes from the heart of the poet. And the same thing when you write things that you want to change, things that you want to have in your life on a piece of paper, and then you just hold the piece of paper on your heart or in a bowl, in your lap, it becomes part of your energy vibration. And then when you sit quietly with that, your brain and central nervous system becomes like a little radio transmitter or antenna. And it's sending these waves out into the etheric field. And on the other side, in the etheric, is the law of vibration, the law of magnetism that brings these things to you, that match you. And that's why, you know, we hear, there's a saying that you always realize your greatest fear. And it's true, because your greatest fear is on your mind all the time. Once you learn to meditate, then you learn, then in that expansion, you start to release and let go of fears that you have that are no longer then part of your energy vibration. So that's why just about any problem that you have can be handled through meditation.
Wow, that's wonderful. How difficult is it to meditate? You think that anyone and everyone can meditate?
Anyone can, but it's easier for some than others. Like some people need to use their hands and stay busy, like what we were talking about earlier with painting or crocheting or sewing, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Then there's walking meditation. And when I went and did the Buddhist meditation workshop, that was one that we did. And it just completely amazed me that I could be walking around and all you focus on is your feet. And you don't even have to be outdoors walking around in a yard or have a good mile or something that you can walk. You can just be walking around your apartment, walking around your bedroom. And you just focus on your feet and watching your feet. And that's the only thing that you give your attention to is one foot moving in front of the other. It can be very small little steps, or it can be, you know, relaxed, not forced, but relaxed, casual steps, depending upon the area that you have to do it in. So there's that. And anything that brings a quiet state of mind, you can use sound. You know, some people find classical music very quieting to their mind, or drumming. That was the idea of drumming in traditional cultures, is that it puts people into a state of quiet, state of quiet mind that allows them to be open and receptive to guidance from from Great Spirit or the ancestors. Chanting will do that as well. And even lights, sometimes a strobe light or a certain particular color of light. I think, you know, when hypnotists want to put your mind into a quiet state so that they can put you into a deep state of relaxation, a lot of times they'll just do a little candle or sparkling light. So we've done that in meditation classes before. For a number of years, I've taught meditation classes, and each week we'll do a different meditation so that everybody gets to try what different kinds so they find what works for them. Mm-hmm. And so we'll use lights or breath or mirrors or candles.
And you had mentioned chanting, so saying a mantra over and over is also another way of meditating. And there's so many different ways, like you're saying. So, you know,
that's what a rosary is. That's what a rosary is.
Oh, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, or a mala.
Mm-hmm. I have my mala beads and my rosary.
Yeah.
So would you like to do a meditation? We can do about a 10-minute or so meditation.
I think that 10 minutes would be a bit long.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, you know, that's a long time for listeners. I think when I work with clients, teaching them to meditate and taking them into states of meditation for healing, mm-hmm. It's kind of like YouTube videos. When they get more than about 3 minutes long, we tend to lose them.
So then let me ask you. Okay, you mm-hmm. said meditate every day. You know, I meditate every day for years. But how long, someone just beginning, is there a starting point, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes? How long would you suggest?
I know that when I started meditating, I would try to do 5 minutes. And then I found a lot of times I would have to set aside a good 20 minutes to be able to get that 1 minute of absolute quiet when my mind wasn't chasing things. The more you practice meditation, the faster it is for you to go into that easy, quiet space. You know, when you see a picture of a statue of Buddha, mm-hmm. generally the thumb and the middle finger are touching, and that is an anchor. When you have something like that, a physical anchor that you hold when you go into meditation, then what happens is that, you know, maybe like with the Silva mind control thing, you know, they take you from counting from five down to four, down to three, and that helps you get into a state of meditation. Holding that pose of the finger and thumb, when you go into meditation, what happens is that it's like teaching your body to a dance step or yoga. Your cells learn to memorize that. And when you start to take that breath and move into that posture, you don't have to think about it anymore. Your cellular memory takes over. And that's what happens with the thumb and the finger. If you take that posture, learning to meditate, once you learn how, then all you have to do is sit down, become quiet, and put your thumb and your finger together, and your cellular memory knows we're going into quiet meditation. Mm-hmm. A thought that I wanted to share with you, just as you had asked me this question, was part of the difficulty that some people have is their Christian or religious upbringing and going into meditation, that that were kind that kind of taught that that's not good.
You
that's
know, that, so true.
They're yeah, not supposed
I understand
to be
exactly
open.
What you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know that it was something that my little child, when I would sit there and try to become quiet when I was learning to meditate, would come skipping through going, you know, oh, you're going to get in trouble, this is bad, you're not supposed to. You know, there's scripture in the Bible that says, you know, don't seek out psychics and seers and things like that. And even Buddha taught not to be chasing after psychics. But what was explained more with his teaching is what the founder of the University of Metaphysics put into his manuals, his teacher's manuals, is that don't try to become psychic. Don't worry about becoming, you know, being influenced by that. Go into meditation. In meditation, you will connect to your higher power, to your divine connection, to the most spiritual part of who you are. And then you become open to all the information, to all the guidance that you need. And so this other is not necessary. And it's not, it's like sometimes with psychics and things, it has to do with energy vibration and the level of consciousness, because we draw our information from whatever matches our consciousness. And when you go into meditation and you're connecting with, let's say, the God mind, that's the highest level of information. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, do you want to get your information? You know, if you're lost and trying to find your way in a neighborhood, and you pass a school playground, and there's kindergarten children out there, and they're also like seventh graders. So do you want to ask directions from the kindergarten child, or you want to ask directions from the seventh grader? Who's going to be the better informed to offer you guidance?
Absolutely.
And that's why meditation, and that's what the scriptures are teaching you and or trying to guide you with, is that connect with that higher power, not don't look for, you know, the information to be on a base level.
Absolutely.
So
sort of like seek ye first. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Seek ye first and all else will follow unto you. And, you know, it's really important to work on being a spiritual being, and whatever gift you may or may not receive is fine. And that's the thing, because once you're spiritual, then you'll get the guidance. But once you become this psychic and all of these outside other things, it's very hard to then become spiritual because you're so into being psychic. And so it's much more important to be a spiritual being, because when you seek ye first, everything else that's for you will come unto you.
Exactly. Exactly. So, what was the question that you asked me that we were trying to...
Oh, let's see. I was asking, how long do you think a meditation should take? And you were saying it took you up to 20 minutes to get 1 minute of quiet time. And so just in general,
quiet, yeah,
what did you suggest?
Well, I have to... Now, you and I attended the same...
Yes.
Our degrees are from the same university.
Yes.
And I know it was the independent study. And at first, I was a little disappointed, and yet it is so perfect that Dr. Masters teaches us to find our own authority instead of sit at the feet of someone else. And the first manual that I received, the instructions were to read this page of information, which was helping explain the spiritual side of us as opposed to the earthly side of us. And we were to read that page and then meditate for a half an hour on just, you know, not really thinking about it, but read it and then sit quietly for a half an hour and do that every day for a week. The same page, and then sit and become quiet so that our truth was not coming from Dr. Masters off of that page, but our truth was coming from the divine source. Because, you know, if when I have a question, when I have a problem and I go into meditation, my answer does not come in physics or as in the dialogue of an engineer or maybe even a lawyer, because I don't speak those languages. I don't have those degrees. Spirit always speaks to you in the vocabulary that you know and understand. So the greater your vocabulary is, the more easily the easier it is for you to understand, to get the bigger picture of what the answer is that you're seeking. And so that's what you get when you study and you read, is that you begin to develop a greater vocabulary, so it's easier for Spirit to be able to give you the answers that you're looking for when you go into that quiet space of time. And it was the discipline of sitting every day for a half an hour with that, you know, after reading that page of information, that it just became this opening. It became easier and easier and easier. And for a longer period of time, I could sit there. And it was kind of like I would see in my mind, I could see myself as a small child going up to this huge divine person sitting there and crawling up into its lap and putting my ear or my heart against their heart and just becoming one with them. Mm. And it was the most beautiful sensation. And it's part of why I love meditation and love to teach it to people, so that they get a sample of that in their lives. You know, whether or not they pursue it with the zeal that I did is entirely up to them, but at least they get a sample of it, a taste of it.
You know, meditation for me has been so amazing. I'll never forget when I first started, I would come out of my room with the biggest smile on my face, and my husband would look at me like, what on earth were you doing in there? And I said, meditating. When you get it and when you truly connect in to all that is, you can feel the love. And it's such an amazing feeling. I love.
Oh, absolutely.
How to meditate.
And it's, you know, wonderful. I saw something in a magazine that inspired me with one of my meditation classes to take a picture of everyone who was coming to the class. Now, I do meditation classes for 6 weeks at a time, every Wednesday evening, or did. And so the first night that everybody came in, we took a Polaroid picture of their face. And then after the 6 weeks was up, you know, because when I teach a class on Wednesday evening, then the idea is that the students will do their best to practice what we've done every day of the week until we get together for the next week. Mm-hmm. And the amazing difference that you could see in people's faces when we took the second photograph, it opened everybody's eyes. I mean, I was astounded. Even though I know that there are people that will meet me and they'll tell me, oh, you know, you have a glow about you. And what it is it's from the meditation. It's from meditating so much. And that's what was visually there in the two photographs with people were looking at their first week and then their final week. And they could see it was like there's a peace about them. And there's an illumination around their eyes and forehead. It just like a glow. Almost like you can see a light shining from within.
Yeah, so well, the light's turning on in them, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So before we run out of time, let's do that short meditation, please.
Okay. How long do we have to do it?
We have about 6 minutes left to the show.
Okay. All right. So if everyone who wants to participate will just sit quietly and comfortably, ideally you want to have your feet on the floor, uncrossed, even though you could sit in a lotus position, but there's something about crossing your ankles that just seems to kind of lock up the energy. So just sit where you're comfortable. Ideally, you want to have your spine as straight as possible. Put your hands in your lap comfortably. If you want, touch your center finger and your thumb together. And then take a nice deep breath in, filling your lungs with all fresh new energy. And then allow that air that you've taken in to follow its natural track back out again. Breathe it out through your mouth. Just relax and let go of the old stale. Breathe in again through your nose, through your nostrils. Filling your lungs, your diaphragm. And allow that breath to follow its natural channel back out. And one more time. Breathe in through your nostrils, filling your diaphragm, filling your lungs. And as that air follows its natural channel out, imagine that a portion of it actually is coming out through the top of your head, through your crown chakra, and opening that channel to divine energy. Bring your attention to your feet and allow your toes to relax, your ankles to relax, your calves, your knees. Just let them go. Let them just find their natural position and relax. Relax your thighs, your abdomen, and your navel, your diaphragm. Feel the relaxation just move up into your chest, your shoulders, your arms and hands. Everything is just relaxing, becoming at peace. You can feel now your neck is beginning to relax. All the tension of the day is leaving because this is your time. This is the moment that belongs to you. Everything else away, it'll still be there. Just give yourself permission to relax, release. Feel your face start to relax. Your neck, your back of your head, scalp. You're totally, totally released and quiet. Now the opening that you gave yourself at the top of your skull, take your attention there and follow that upward. Imagine that there is this shining light, this golden, shimmering light that's raining down on you. It's raining down on your head. If you can't see it, feel it, or imagine it, then give yourself permission to remove any obstacles that might be there that would keep that from becoming part of you. Like, let the rain come down. Don't worry about an umbrella or any protection. Just allow it to come. And as it comes, showers down on you, draw it into your head. Imagine how it filling your scalp, your forehead, your eyes, your face, your neck, and shoulders. It's coming in like golden lava or honey, warm, soothing, releasing, relaxing. Let it fill now your arms, your shoulders, your arms, down into your hands. You can probably feel the tingling vibration as the energy fills your palms and your fingertips. Then bring your attention back to your upper chest. And see how that warm golden glow is filling into your chest cavity, into your heart, your diaphragm, your midriff. All of your ribs are covered, your stomach, your kidneys, your adrenals, they're all being relaxed. Pancreas, liver, your intestines, this warm, flowing, liquid sunshine or light is relaxing and releasing and filling, healing everywhere it touches. It fills the entire abdomen. It's going in through the femur bones, your thighs. Feel the relaxation, the warmth in your knees, all around the connective tissue, your kneecaps, down into your calves, spiraling down your shin, to your ankles, your feet, all the many bones in your feet. They're all being bathed with this light, this healing golden glow. And then you'll feel the toes, they start to tingle a bit. The bottom of your feet start to tingle. It's with the energy, the vibration that you're bringing in. Highest, the best, the most beautiful. And then from the bottom of your feet, notice that roots are growing. Just like a giant sequoia tree. You're sending in roots. They penetrate the floor. They penetrate into the ground. They're moving their way through the rocks, the gravel, the stones, the deep earth crust, and into the very, very heart of the earth, the molten heart of Mother Earth, the living pulse. And feel the pulse as it moves through you. It's connecting you to the earth. You're becoming the polarity between the earth and the divine. You're totally grounded, and you're bringing the love of Mother Earth up into the roots. It's feeding your roots. It's coming into your body, and it's traveling and blending with the divine flow that entered. Let it come up into your body.
We are done. We are out of time. I'm so sorry. Yes, time has flown. And so, yeah, that was beautiful. And allow that energy.
That is available on my website.
Okay. Give out your website real quick because we are out of time.
Okay. It's Wisdom Pathway.
Okay.
www.wisdompathway. And if you go to freebies, you'll find a link where you can listen to the whole meditation.
Perfect. I want to thank you. We are completely out of time. So until next time, everyone, be blessed and meditate. Thank you, Milana.
You've been listening to Affirmations for Living with Edwige. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit my Facebook page, download my app, Awakened, and visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And remember, be the change that you want to see. Until next time, this is Reverend Dr. Edwige. Namaste.